You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Thursday, February 4th, and today is a mailbag day. We've got tons of questions from our listeners on the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. We'll get to all of them right here on today's show. As always, you can subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, and anywhere podcasts are hosted. Let's get right to it with your questions. It's going to be a fun show. Let's get into it. All right, y'all. So there is a little bit of Steelers news. Antonio Brown spoke on Radio Row for the Super Bowl. We're going to get to that tomorrow. That's not like a pressing news matter. He just talked about his life and his decisions and things like that. Jenna Harner will be with us tomorrow for our normal Fridays with her as we will give our picks and get you ready for the Super Bowl. But for now, we've got our mailbag segment. Thanks to all those who put in questions. If you missed this opportunity, don't worry. We're starting to bring this around a little more often throughout the year. You will get another chance, but feel free to ask questions in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which again, you can join at any point in time by searching on Facebook for Locked On Steelers. Ask to join the group as soon as possible, and then you'll join over 1,100 other Steelers fans like yourself. Okay, let's get right to it. Our first one's more of a comment from Derek Workman. He says, I've been trying to think of a catchy name for like Tony Tuesday, but I couldn't come up with one. But I think you should have Wes Euler return the favor for Locked On Steelers on Thursdays for you always going on his Monday shows. And yes, Wes Euler's a great guest. He's also a great host. I go on his afternoon delight show on Pittsburgh, ESPN Pittsburgh Radio. Every Monday now, so it's definitely a play. We'll probably work him in there. I try to give Wes a break sometimes because he be hustling. But we could work that in. I do love having Wes around, but I also want to work Adam Crowley in, and you know, I'm trying to talk to some other people, you know, to come on back on the show, people that we've had on, people that we haven't had on. But we're working on that. Thank you for the suggestion, Derek. All right, so first actual question comes from Harry Shaughnessy, who says, could the Steelers extend Ben 3 years, give a signing bonus, and cut his salary to $5 or $8 million to get his cap hit in 2021 to $12 or $15 million? If so, would you recommend it? Seems like if they cut him after a year, they've moved on for a big cap hit to a year where they have more room. P.S., can you put in a good word for me when I apply for Omar Khan's job when he leaves? Absolutely, Harry Shaughnessy. I will tell Kevin Colbert that the next time I talk to him on a Zoom call. I'll be like, hey, Kevin, I got this guy, Harry Shaughnessy. What are his credentials? Facebook. He's really good at Facebook. No, seriously. So back to the question. As far as I understand, no matter what the Steelers do, the $22 million that's dead money can't be moved for Ben Roethlisberger. At least that's what I understand. Now, the most that can be done here is to remove the $19 million of cap savings here, and that was what would happen if he would get cut. Now, I do think they're going to move at least $15 million of that money down the line. So I do think that's what's coming is an extension that moves that money down the line without giving Ben too much more money there. So good question, Harry. But that was that situation there. Fred Salazar asks, any chance we get a video version of the podcast, even if not regular, like a draft special or something? I've thought about this, Fred. I got to be honest, man, I do a lot. I cover Pitt football, Pitt basketball. I do draft stuff for DKPittsburghSports.com. I do podcasts for them as well. I do podcasts here. I am killing myself all the time to create content. Adding another new thing for me to do right now, maybe not the best idea for my health. I do have family I'd like to see. But I appreciate you wanting that, Fred, because I appreciate that you like the content that we're putting out here. If I get some time and figure out an easier way to do it, absolutely. But being a one-man show on this show is not the easiest thing when you got 12 other things to balance. But I may look into doing some sort of draft special at some point where maybe a video is released. But again, thank you for the suggestion. Rob Ambrosino asks, do you believe Chuks Okorafor is good enough at right tackle, or do we need an upgrade? Good question, Rob. I don't think he's good enough right now. I think that he has the potential to get there still. This is going to be, what, his third year in the league? So this is going to be a real step-up year for him. I thought early in the season he looked really solid. But as he went on in the season, as most younger players do, sometimes you lose some of the technique stuff you learned early in camp or some of the things you're teaching yourself. And again, he's, what, a third-round draft pick, a fourth-round draft pick? Like he wasn't a highly touted guy. I'd give him more time to work, but I still would draft another offensive tackle to compete with him and Zach Banner, because I'm convinced Banner is coming back, and maybe even draft one tackle early, one tackle late, and see what that offensive lineman room is like going into this year. But Okorafor does deserve another shot. He did stonewall J.J. Watt a lot in that early start he had against the Texans. All right, moving along, we've got Justin Justin Cortez. I'm sorry, Justin. I'm just going to have to pass on that middle name. I know I should know it better, but I'm a little tired at the moment. What is it about our ownership that's helped us become what we are and continue to stay relevant? It's what I was telling Dean yesterday. The Roonies don't panic. They don't go with what the shock jocks are saying and what everyone's like, oh, we got to do this. We got to cut this guy. We got to fire this coach. We got to do this over here. No. They keep a level head. They make measured decisions. They have people that they trust that know what they're talking about. And they say, hey, we're going to put our faith in these guys. And they keep a small room. Sometimes you could have too many chefs in the kitchen and it messes up everything. Some organizations, they have 50 people at the meeting and it's so tough to get one clear, concise message. The Steelers are doing a good job at picking the guys that are keeping the ship headed in the right direction, and that's what's allowed them to stay this way. And staying steady means being steady even when it's hard to think that way. When you lose to the Browns in the playoffs, a lot of people are panicking. The sky is falling. The Steelers will never be good again. This is it. This is the end. The Steelers are about to turn into what they were before the 70s. Chill out. They've been here before. Not losing to the Browns in the playoffs, but they've been in a rough situation before. They've had rough seasons. Trust them to figure it out and bounce back. I think that's the thing there, Justin, is that what's kept them relevant is the ownership and the leadership, keeping the guys at the head of the ship, like Mike Tomlin, and the people that then Kevin Colbert, the people they trust to keep the organization going and to keep that, maintain that atmosphere. And when you maintain that calm atmosphere at the top, it passes on down and it works to the other players. And then they know that there's expectations of them, but they also know that you gotta still play within yourself. So that's a good question. CJ Rosencrantz asks, any chance we see an unprecedented amount of extensions to create the room this year to possibly sign Bud, Hilton, and Sutton? I don't know about all three. I'm fairly confident that Sutton will be back. I don't know what kind of money Mike Hilton's going to get on this kind of market, because we don't know what this market's going to even be like. There's going to be, I predict there's going to be several surprising cuts across the league to make cap space, and that could lead to a shakeup in how this free agency market's even looked at, especially because we don't even know what the salary cap will be next year just yet. We have estimates, but no official number. But I do think that Bud Dupree's out of the question. In my opinion, I know John Clayton said Bud Dupree, the best he could hope for is $6 million a year in this market. I have to think Bud's getting upwards of $15 a year. Like, I'm sorry, he's just too good of a player, and the Steelers can't afford that. Now, they can make the moves to keep Sutton and maybe Hilton, and then maybe, Zach Banner and a few other guys, but Bud Dupree is the top name at the top of this list, and I guarantee you there's going to be some team out there that's like, hey, Bud, come here for a lot of money. We need a true edge rusher at the top here. So that's where I'm at with that, CJ. Barton Gilman Reptar Jason, I said the whole name there, Reptar! Not saying this will or even should happen, but for someone like Pouncey, is there a way to restructure to where his cap hit would count the same as his dead money? I'd rather have Pouncey as a backup if we're already paying him. Now, you could lower the money that he would get. There's $8 million that you could free up by getting rid of Pouncey. You could offer him a deal where it's like, hey, we're keeping you around, but we're taking that money down, that extra money down to about $1 million. There's a way to do it, but it's up to Pouncey if he wants to do that. He's been beat up a lot in his career. There's a lot of abuse that he's taken physically. So it's tough to ask that of him and think that he's just going to say yes. Is there a way to do it? Yes. Is it likely? I don't think so, because what the Steelers will be asking from him will be a huge cut, and I'm not sure if he's willing to or should play another year in the NFL where he puts his body at risk for not getting the kind of money that he's been used to getting. Last question in the first segment here. Dezo Farkas asks, what are the chances of us retaining Juju, and how much is too much for us? What's his current estimated value? I mean, Juju, okay. Juju's one of the more unlikely people that the Steelers could re-sign. Why? Because, I mean, frankly, they have a lot of talented and athletic receivers. You got Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and James Washington, and you could probably draft a receiver in the fourth or fifth round, and they'd be a guy that could be the fourth option on this team, no problem. Keeping Juju would be great. I think he's a great teammate. I think he's a great player. I think that he has a lot of potential in this league, and that if he goes to a team that has a real quarterback and a real offense, he's going to continue to thrive. But I have a hard time looking at how can the Steelers justify keeping him when they got so many other issues, and that's my problem. If there weren't so many other openings on free agency that they got to fill, offensive line, running back, depth at corner, depth at linebacker, depth at safety, depth at defensive line, if they didn't have all these other questions, sure, get him. But for me, I have a hard time. I have a hard time seeing that being an easy fill. Now the only way that this will work is if more receivers get released before this free agency period begins, and he moves down the chain. But as it stands right now, Pro Football Focus ranking players looks at here's the ranking of wide receivers: Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson II, Kenny Golladay, Will Fuller V, and then at the fifth best receiver in free agency right now is Juju. Their projected contract for him is 4 years at $17 million a year. Whew, that's a lot of money. You can't pay that kind of money. Now, maybe he takes a deal that's a little bit less than that, but I'm sorry. If I'm Juju, I'm getting paid. And if I can get $17 million a year right now and go to another team, I think that's a deal that I'd have to take right there. So the Steelers got a lot of issues. Adding another $17 million contract would make it for a real tough time to balance the salary cap and build depth around other positions. So that answers your question there, Dezo. I don't think it's going to happen. Just too much money out there for this guy to make. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more questions from you on the mailbag. But first, we got to talk to our friends at rockauto.com.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's LOCKED, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today.
Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, and it's the mailbag day here on Thursday. Let's get into it. We've got more questions from you. Isaiah Rail asks, if you could bring back one player from any point in the past, who would it be? Ooh, that's a good one. I got one answer. Dermonti Dawson. Now, we're all talking about the Steelers needing to boost up their offensive line. Dermonti Dawson, to me, is the best center that ever lived. And I know there's a lot of old head Steelers fans that are going to be like, what about Mike Webster? Listen, Mike's great. Mike's elite. Mike's number two. But Dermonti did all the things that Mike could do in the middle of the line. He could bully you at the point of attack. He can command everybody. He know everywhere he have to be. Out-position himself. Out-fight everybody. But he also had that athleticism to be a pulling center that could run 20 yards downfield and pancake somebody and keep moving. You know why I say that? Because I've seen it. go back to the 1996 AFC divisional round, where no, it's 1997 AFC divisional round, where Cordell Stewart takes off down the sideline, and who's in front of him but Dermonti Dawson, and he just flattens some dude out in open space. I mean, it was ridiculous how athletic that guy was. If you put him on this offensive line right now, they're probably one of the best offensive lines in football, because that's how good he was. He would balance the center position so much more. And for the next, like, if I could take a rookie Dermonti Dawson and put him on him, Dotson, DeCastro, good night. Like, I'm happy with that crew. And then you could have Banner, and you could still draft an offensive tackle if you wanted. But that's a heck of an offensive line right there. So to answer your question, Isaiah, it's Dermonti Dawson. Next question comes from Warren Adcock, who says, "I was drunk last night, and now I can't find the TV remote. Any idea where it is?" Good question, Warren. This is a vital question that we often have as human beings. Now, where I often look when I misplace the remote is, first, I check my couch cushions. That's the classic place, right? That's where you know you might have dropped it. If you got a recliner, checked in the recliner. And if it's got the reclinage, you know you got to check under, like, where the reclined stuff goes, because there's the mechanics and the levers and then the part that pulls out so you can put your feet on it. You got to be able to look at that kind of stuff. So if it's not there, the next thing I start to think is, where do I go when I'm drunk? Do I go to the fridge? Check your fridge. Maybe you put it on the table by the fridge. Maybe you put it in the bathroom where you went to because you needed to go because you were drinking so much. You got to start thinking common sense things here, man. Warren, yeah, it's a great question, but let me know. I hope that this helped you. Let me know if any of this helped. Also, check under your couches and everything, because sometimes they just fall and hit the ground and slide under everything like my remote just did over here. So, I'm also not drunk because I have to work later. But, anyways, keeping this going, Robert Williamson asks, "What are your thoughts on Owusu-Koramoah?" Yeah, Robert, you ain't think I was going to get that name right, did you? No, you didn't. But he says, Owusu-Koramoah, if he's available in the first round, I think that he would make our defense absolutely lethal. I know we have O-line and RB needs, but he might be too good to pass up on. I'm interested in your take on him, though. So for those who don't know, Owusu-Koramoah is one of the best linebackers in this draft class. He's an inside linebacker. He'll play off ball, and he played for Notre Dame. I love Owusu-Koramoah. If they could somehow get him, they should, because him and Devin Bush would be spectacular together. And it would solidify the defense, I think. It would bring a balance to the group that would make them even more unstoppable. My only thing with this is, I don't even think he's going to get to 24. I think it him and Parsons, I think that's the guy from Penn State, the two of them, they're going in the top 20 at least. They might even go sooner, because people do recognize the importance, of inside linebackers. And part of this is because, it might back down a little bit because, it's Micah Parsons. But part of this is because, Parsons didn't play this year for Penn State. So he was originally looking like a top 5 pick. Now he's outside of the top 10 for a lot of people. But there's still guys that you could look at here. And there's guys that you wouldn't necessarily need to go in the first round to get. I like Chaz Surratt from North Carolina. I like Dylan Moses from Alabama. I think there's some potential with Jabril Cox of LSU or Pete Werner of Ohio State. Keep an eye out for Baron Browning of Ohio State. There's guys that are athletic and are good that you could pick up in the second and third rounds, in case those guys aren't there. But if they are, I fully expect both of those guys to be off the board by their pick. But good question, Robert. That was a good draft question. I always appreciate good draft questions. All right. That was what our 1, 2, 3, 4. That was our third question. All right. We're good. Dylan Wiley asks, "What will we do for the running back position? Guessing that Connor is a goner, will Snell be the starter, or do you think we'll address it in the draft?" Dylan, buddy, Benny Snell ain't starting. Unless something went terribly wrong and everyone's hurt again. I fully believe the Steelers are going to draft a running back high, and I mean first or second or at worst third round, and then they're also going to maybe try to sign someone for cheap in free agency. If someone brought up Mark Ingram. I said no at first, but I'm starting to hear it. I think Tony Serino even brought that up. I'm starting to hear it. Just getting a veteran presence in that room could really help, because they need guidance. But no, I don't expect Benny Snell to be the starter next year. If he is, something went wrong and this team's in a lot of trouble. All right, moving forward here, we got Eric LeBoy who asks, is it reasonable to think that defensive back could be a possibility in the first round, especially if J.C. Horn is there at 24? Yeah, it's reasonable. I don't think the Steelers are precluding any actual position here that could take it out. Now, for those who don't know, J.C. Horn, good cornerback from South Carolina. He's actually projected to be around, to be picked around there. He's a guy that has played a lot of zone coverage. He can get real physical. He's a tackler. But here's the thing. I do think that it's possible he would be there, but for them to pick cornerback, I think it would have to be someone that drops significantly. The top two cornerbacks in this draft are Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech and Patrick Surtain from Alabama. One of those two guys fall? Sure. I even promised someone in this group, I believe it was Mike Holden in the Facebook group, but he had a mock draft where he got Patrick Surtain to fall to 24. I promise you right now, if Patrick Surtain II from Alabama, the cornerback that is 6'1", 203 pounds, and a junior Alabama, if he falls to 24 and the Steelers select him, I will do 5 shots of tequila right on air. You know what? Maybe not even tequila. I'll do straight up Hennessy. There'll be expensive shots if it's Patrick Surtain. I will do it live on air the night of the draft. You hear me? You hear me, Locked On listeners? That's how crazy I don't think this is going to happen. Anyways, but I wouldn't go J.C. Horn, especially because I think that there's going to be top running backs, top linebackers, or top linemen in that position, and I think those are a little bit more of a need there. But good question, Eric, because that means you're paying attention to draft stuff. All right, got another question here. This one from Dan Tucci, who says, did I hear you say Terry Bradshaw was your pick on the Steelers top Steelers quarterback of all time? I know it's silly to compare eras, but care to explain that one? Here's my thing, Dan. Whenever the Steelers were in a big game in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, especially the Super Bowl, Terry Bradshaw came up big. And I know he ain't had the stats that everyone loves to see, but for me, that era was a different era of football, and the Steelers played a different brand of football where they were like, hey, we're willing to put up with the deep bombs that don't work out because we got the defense to back it up, and we also know that Terry's going to come up in the big moments. And the reason I take him over Ben is because too many times I've seen Ben Roethlisberger get into a game, have the chance to tie the game up, put the team ahead in the playoffs, and not step up in the big moment. And in fact, I think in a lot of the playoff losses, that's what's happened. And even some of the playoff wins the Steelers have had. You think back, think about it. When was the last time you could say Ben was the catalyst, was the guy who made it all happen for a playoff win? It's been a while. You know, I know a lot of people try to bring up Mike Tomlin. He's only won 3 playoff games the past 10 years. But he hasn't had a lot of help from his quarterback in some of those games. Take this year. Four interceptions, Ben Roethlisberger. I know you threw 4 touchdowns. I don't care. You threw 4 interceptions. That doesn't help much. And it's also about timing and when you score. If you're scoring the majority of your touchdowns while you're down 3, 4, and 2 touchdowns, I don't care. That's garbage time points. How many times did you score when your team had a chance to tie the game? How many times did you score when your team had a chance to take the lead in the game? That's where I often put value. And like with the Jaguars game, if you look at the end of that game, the box score, he's like, Ben had a great day. No, he didn't, because all of his points came when his team didn't need it. And he had several different opportunities to either tie or take the lead in the game. Well, not take the lead. He had several opportunities to tie the game, and he didn't take any of those opportunities. So Terry Bradshaw too many times came up with those moments. I think that in today's NFL, with all the advantages handed to the receiver, I mean, you could kill receivers in Terry Bradshaw's era. You could destroy them, flatten them, you know, before the ball even got there. I mean, there was all sorts of rules that made it so much harder to operate, and he still found a way to be a legend in those big moments. So that's where I'm going with Terry Bradshaw. Last question this segment before we take another break. This one comes from PJ Huey, who says, do you think the draft should be first in the offseason and then free agency, or leave it how it is? I'm okay with leaving how it is, because to me, the draft is more important than free agency. Free agency is where you address temporary things and guys that, you know, some guys might be long-term, but that's not where you're building all of your future, unless you're a really bad team. But the draft is when you're building for your future, and I'd prefer to know who my free agency, you know, where my definite holes are after free agency, then to draft all these guys and then try to fill in free agency, because then I'm asking a lot of different things. I don't think it's that huge of a deal, but I prefer to keep it how it is, because I think that's a fine way to do it. All right, we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, more of your questions on the Locked On Steelers mailbag episode. But first, a word from our friends at betonline.ag. At betonline.ag, you know that's the place that we trust here on the Locked On Sports Network to place our bets. The Super Bowl is upon us. It's this weekend, y'all. If you haven't signed up for betonline.ag, I don't know what you're doing yet, because when you do, you can sign up, get a free account, and with your first deposit, you can get a 50% bonus simply by adding the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word. You add that, and you will get you get your 50% deposit bonus. And remember, when you're betting on the Super Bowl, you're not just betting on who wins. You're betting on the over-under, how many points are scored, who scores first, who scores last, how many touchdowns are thrown by Patrick Mahomes, how many touchdowns are thrown by Tom Brady. All those things and more can be wagered on betonline.ag. Get off the sidelines, get in on the action. And don't forget, when you do, use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, and you can get a 50% bonus on your first deposit to betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What's up, Locked On listeners? This is Chris Carter here, and I'm telling you about a new way to help get in shape that's going to motivate you by helping you hit your fitness goals, stay on task, and have you feeling great about yourself. That's because of our great sponsor, Echelon. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's E-C-H-E-L-O-N, echelonfit.com/NFL.
All right, back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get to finishing these questions, because we got a lot from y'all, and I got to get to my other part of my job. All right. We have Robert Poirier who asks, who in your eyes are the centers that have the highest upside in this draft to become an anchor for the line? And what's a reasonable round to draft one of these guys in, assuming we're not using the first round pick? So, Robert, good question. On centers this draft, I'm not high in the first round. There's not a single center I would draft in the first round, to be exact, simply because it's just ain't that year. Sometimes that happens. I like Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. I'm not sure if I like him enough for the second round pick, but I think that he should be looked at there. I think that would be a good pick there to look at him. Landon Dickerson's a guy that if he's around in the third round, I'd feel more comfortable with. But you're right. I think some people don't realize that you can pick guys in the later rounds. I think a really late steal would be Jimmy Morrissey from Pitt. And I know that there is a bit there's a bit of homerism there because I covered him, but that dude, Jimmy Morrissey, is a warrior, and you can get him in the fifth or sixth round probably because he's not getting hyped up by anybody. But he's a guy who battles, he's a guy that he communicates well. He was a leader. I saw him several times. He was a walk-on at Pitt. He was a guy that was overlooked from the start, and he became walk-on of the year this year. He literally got that award. He was a captain, a starter for, I think, what, 3 or 4 years, and an All-American academic guy for the ACC. Like, he's the guy that you want on your team for sure. And if you can get him for cheap, he also played in the Senior Bowl and played really well, bounced around at both guard positions and center. That's a guy that I would take, and then he could be there. But if you want a guy, that's going to contribute right now, Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey is a guy who I'm looking at because I think that he's one of the top guys in this draft at center. And I think he's actually my top center in this draft out of Oklahoma. I think he's a bad dude. Another guy is Quinn Myers. He's a guy that's starting to get a little bit more talk, but he went to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, so he's a little less known. I think he's another guy that could fall into, and again, that's Division III, by the way, but he's a guy who you could get in the middle to late rounds, and he could be a guy that steps up for them. I really think that there's potential at getting a guy without spending too high at the center position. The key might be offensive tackle there, but good question there. DJ Carter asks, is it possible to get Dupree back even though we need a running back? Again, DJ, I think it's rough. I think the Bud's just too expensive. He's going to make a killing on the market. Unless somehow he doesn't and people really think that the ACL is going to hold him back, I don't see any chance that the Steelers are getting Bud Dupree back. Thiago Fernandez, excuse me, Thiago, asks, when the salary cap for the when is the salary cap for the upcoming season, and when will it be announced? What would the order of the players who you would cut and those who you would try to sign a new deal? Okay, two questions here. Thiago, first, we don't know yet. It's probably going to come after the Super Bowl. Maybe like a week or two after the Super Bowl. They still got to talk about that, count the revenue, and see how that works. This is a very unusual year, so I'm not 100% sure about that. That's not something that my years of studying this sport has seen yet. So this is going to be new for everybody. And what would the order be at players be? Cut. I still think they got to get rid of Pouncey unless he takes a huge pay cut. I mean, take $1 million of, you know, unless he gives them $7 million back out of the $8 million that he can give back. I can't keep Pouncey. Honestly, cuts, I'm not looking to cut too many people because they have too many other people to sign. I think the key is going to be restructuring here, Thiago, and that includes Steven Nelson, David DeCastro, Stephon Tuitt, guys that carry a lot of money for this team. I think there's some restructuring and that can happen and moving some money around that will free up a lot more room than just cutting players that ultimately you really still need. So Michael Smith asks the question, do you foresee Anthony McFarland becoming the primary back? He had a similar season to Connor's rookie year and has the previous relationship with Matt Canada. Curious in your thoughts. No, I do not see Anthony McFarland. I think he could be a Weldy Moore. I think he could be a backup that's a threat and could occasionally come in. I didn't see enough from his feet to suggest that he's going to be a starter. I also think that the Steelers are seriously going to invest in a running back, which means that he's going to have to take a step back. I know that he has worked with Matt Canada. I know he's put up some good numbers with him. But they need a consistent guy, not a guy who's a speedster where he hits one thing and it works out. But who knows? He could prove everyone wrong and get a shot there. I just don't see it happening this time. Joe Berkey asks, if you were the GM, what would be your draft strategy for the upcoming draft? What would be your top three positions you would try to draft? Joe, my position is this. Do anything I can to get get there's top players that I have on my board. And, you know, if there's a linebacker there, I look at that. But my top priority are offensive line and running back. I'm looking at, you know, linebacker as well to start next to Devin Bush. I'm looking at cornerback to maybe, you know, address that in the future. And then I'm also looking at maybe interior defensive line, maybe a backup edge rusher. There's some guys that are slipping down in this draft, and according to a lot of people. But I'm prioritizing the offensive line and the running back position. And if one of the primo offensive tackles ain't there, I'm going and getting Travis Etienne or Najee Harris. One of the two, both I think will be very good in the NFL. You get that and then worry about the rest later. I think you're having a happy day. We have Dan Jakelis, who asks, do you think the lack of a run game was more due to poor offensive line play, bad play calling, or lacking a true number one running back? They ran the ball well the first part of the season until they started the dink and dunk offense. It seems to me no matter how good your run game is, when a defense can play the run or pass by stacking the box, the run game is especially going to suffer. So, Dan, you asked which. I'm saying all of the above. I think that there wasn't good enough line play to dominate in certain spots. I think there wasn't enough good play calls. I think early in the season they were using more of the wrinkles that they needed to on offense, and then eventually they just went with what Ben was comfortable with, and that was not the new wrinkles that were brought into this year's offense. And then, yeah, they don't have a true number one running back. James Conner doesn't make people miss consistently enough. He gets tackled in too easy situations. I think James Conner is a good number two back. He's not a star back in this league. He's not a number one running back in this league. Yeah, they need to. That's why I'm saying they need to get a real top talent at running back. They need to address the offensive line. Those things will make a lot of things better. Clint Fritz, who says, "Hey Chris, would you say linebacker has become a greater position of need as we were riddled with injuries at the position this season? And can you see them addressing this position earlier rather than later in the draft? As you're not always going to find a good linebacker like Highsmith in the mid to later rounds, unless of course they find one in free agency." Thank you, Clint. Yeah, I absolutely see them addressing now. I'm not sure if you mean off-ball linebacker and edge rusher, because that's what Alex Highsmith is. I could see them doing both, because they recognize that edge rushers are important.
There seems to be not a lot of hype on certain Pitt guys this year. Patrick Jones and Rashad Weaver were both stellar players on the defensive end. They were All-Americans, and they were crushing people. If one of those guys is available in the third round, I'm jumping at the opportunity to get those guys. And I also think there's some inside linebackers that would be worth picking. I mean, this might be a draft where they say, hey, you know what, let's trade back, let's get an extra pick, let's say, okay, let's get a let's get a running back early in the second. Let's get a, and then we have 2 third-round picks, and we're saying, hey, we'll get a lineman, an offensive, we'll get an offensive lineman, we'll get a linebacker, and then we'll get, we'll address, you know, cornerback or edge rusher there. But I do think that's possible there, absolutely. Felix Nordhusen asks, in his new show, Tony Serino made the point that one of the key shortcomings of this year's offense was the lack of self-scouting, around no-huddle success. What is your take on that? I don't know about self-scouting. I mean, maybe. I think the problem, I mean, there's too many games where I saw open wide receivers at the end of the season, man. And I'm going to keep saying that until someone understands this and people stop asking questions about the play calling, because there were plenty of plays where the play was called and Ben just didn't see the open man. And maybe that means he wasn't self-scouting enough, but it shows me that the Steelers knew that they'd get certain matchups, or they at least put themselves in to get certain matchups that should have been targeted more, and they didn't. He didn't take advantage of it. I think the bottom line is there self-scouting that needs to be done more? Yeah, I think it's part of the quarterback, what happens is that when he starts to throw so much, he loses back. He steps back on all the scouting he needs to do. That's just me, though. Dietrich Delaney asks, I'm not sure. Okay. Was always curious as to who are the minority percentage owners of the Steelers, and do they have say in any of the decisions made towards the team about personnel, staff, or front office, or are they just silent partners? Yeah, they're basically just silent partners. They don't get a lot of juice. I mean, they can show up to the meetings, they can get things done, but the majority owners, they're going to make the call. I mean, there's been minority owners who have called for Tomlin's head years ago, and that ain't happening. So, no, they don't got any power. Colin Suture asks, if Kadarius Toney slips to round 2, do you grab him with no doubts? And what are your thoughts on Jamie Newman to add some competition in the quarterback room? First off, Jamie Newman, I like him as a project. I don't think that he's a guy that's fully – he has a good arm. And I think he has good athleticism. I just don't trust his, I don't trust his reads just yet. I still want to see how he does, a little bit more. I mean, if he's around in the 5th or 6th round and I haven't selected a quarterback, yeah, sure, I'll take that stab. But I like Kellen Mond a little bit more than him. On Kadarius Toney, no, I'm sorry, I'm just not taking a receiver early this year. They got other issues they need to address. But good question, because it's always good to look at talent. Charlie O'Brown Jr. asks, with so many fans wanting Ben gone, if the Steelers were to cut Ben, where possibly could be a landing spot for if he wants to retire? If he doesn't want to retire, I'd say Carolina. I'd say Carolina too. I think that that's certainly a possibility. They need a quarterback, but if I'm Ben, why would I go anywhere? I'm sorry. I'm retiring, taking my money, going and enjoying my rest of my life. I just came back from elbow surgery. I don't need this in my life. And then learning a whole new offensive system. Other places, I guess. Maybe New England just to stick it to the Steelers. I mean, yeah, so maybe not. Maybe hold up on asking him to trying to get the Steelers to cut him, because maybe Ben tries to spite the Steelers and goes to the Patriots, and then Bill Belichick and him spygate their way to the Super Bowl, and then you'll be eating your hearts out, Steelers fans. So let's not even put that bad message in the air. All right, Juan Carlos Rodriguez asks, if one of the top corners in the draft slides to our pick, would you pull the trigger? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, it's those top two guys. Patrick Surtain, I think it was Caleb Harley, I want to say his name was. Caleb Farley, there we go. Not the motorcycle, Chris. Caleb Farley, Patrick Surtain, one of those two guys fall? Yup, those guys are top talents. I would pull that trigger fast in a heartbeat. So that's a good question there. Jake Vasil asks, what do you think of the Steelers do with Samuels this offseason? Obviously still under contract, but it's clear his skill set doesn't work a roster spot. Yeah, I think he's going to have to clock out. They got Anthony McFarlane, who's young and fast. They've got Benny Snell, who's young and strong. and kind of their power back right now. I could foresee them signing a running back and drafting a running back, and then maybe even getting rid of Snell or McFarland at this point. But Samuels would go before either of them, so I do think that he's going to be gone. Last question here. Robert Sarnowski asks, I really like what the Ravens did with their fullback, Patrick Ricard. He was a lineman that was converted, and they converted him, and he was a devastating fullback. I think the Steelers could use the faster, could find the faster center or guard coming out of college that isn't good enough to make it in the NFL or playing on the line, but would be open to trying to switch to fullback. I mean, yeah, there's a reason that doesn't happen all the time. It's because it's not always the best idea, because that guy's not going to catch too well most of the times, and oftentimes you need guys to be able to catch in today's offense. Sure, I mean, they could take a look at doing that, but, you know, I think what made the Ravens running offense really good was Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson being Lamar Jackson. And even when he's not having the ball, the defense has to pay attention to Lamar Jackson because he's always a threat because he's Lamar Jackson. So, I don't think the Ravens do any magic with the ground game. I think they use the talent that they have on the field because it's pretty obvious that he is one bad dude to stop. And J.K. Dobbins is also a pretty doggone good athlete. I wouldn't necessarily just try to do that just because if there's a center or a guard or someone that's really athletic and can get out there in space, sure, give them a shot, but don't force it. It's not something to just be like, hey, Ray, Pouncey, get over here, give this a shot, Kevin Dotson, get over here, you could be a fullback. It's not something you look for. That's a gimmick. Steelers are less gimmicky. I wouldn't go for that. Again, unless someone's skill set fit that pattern. And if there's someone that does, great. We'll come to that road. But that's not something that I would be planning on for the future. All right, that's our mailbag show. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate everyone who listened. Again, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. That always helps out the show. And if you do, you will get a shout-out on the show. Before we go, got to tell you about our great friends at Blue Nile with their 10-10 promotion. Because don't forget, the 10-10 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique, limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com. Thanks again for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Be back in your ears tomorrow with Jenna Harner for our Friday episode, getting you ready for the Super Bowl.